Well, we're continuing on with our sermon series here at SBC that we've been going at this summer as we've been walking with Jesus through the book of Mark in this series called Follow Me. We're in chapter 14, so we're getting close to the end. There's only 16 chapters in Mark. What we're going to see today, the story, is the story that Brian just told to our kids, and it's the story of the anointing at Bethany, which, as it turns out, and we're going to see this, that this is sort of the linchpin story that sort of seals Jesus' fate as he gets ready to go to the cross. It's this story of this one woman's messy gift that changes things. So there must be a lot of power in these messy sort of gifts. And so I invite you now to listen along, follow along either in your Bibles or on the screen as we hear God's word to you and to me. It says this, while Jesus, he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and she poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always will have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who is one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him, Jesus, to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we do pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You're our rock and you're our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our pantry at home for Christy and me, we have a bunch of these. We know what these are, right? They're mugs and a little container, but two mugs. Not Starbucks mugs that are perfectly put together that tell you where you've been in the world. Not insulated mugs to keep all your stuff warm or cold. Not perfectly proportioned mugs that fit in your car holster. But mugs that were created by 5 to 10-year-olds that were not getting paid for their precision. Let's just say that. Right? My hunch is that if we went around this room, if you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, kids you know, you probably have one or two or 30 of these in your collection. And here's the challenge with these. You love them. Well, first of all, they take up space. Have I said that? Because mugs are like rabbits. They just keep producing and you have no idea how it happens. But then it comes right down to it and there are some of them you're like, I just can't get rid of that, right? Why? Well, it's messy, and it's imperfect, and yet it is a messy gift of love that reminds you of someone that you love, that someone that loves you, right? We love messy gifts. We love messy gifts. Our text today is really about a messy gift. It's about a messy gift, and we're going to look at it. Let's open it up. We have Jesus, where we're at in the story. Remember, this is Mark 14. There are 16 chapters. Getting close to the end. What scholars say is this is probably Tuesday of Holy Week. Okay, Tuesday of Holy Week. So Thursday is Monday, Thursday, the Last Supper. Good Friday is 3 days away. All right? So it's Tuesday of Holy Week. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's going there for Passover. He lands in Bethany. Bethany is 2 miles from Jerusalem as the crow flies. And he's staying at a friend of his named Simon the leper. What happens in this meal, as he's sitting around with his friends, getting ready for this week, is something that no one expects. And we heard about it in the gospel, and we heard about it in our children's sermon today. This woman comes in, nondescript woman, we don't know who she is. And what does she do? She cracks open this jar of perfume that is worth a year's wage. And what does she do with it? But she literally dumps it on Jesus' head. Yeah, that's right. We don't know who this woman was. We don't know if this was her inheritance. We don't know if she was a wealthy person and this was one of many. It doesn't really say that. But we do know these two things. Number one, it was an aromatic mess. Right? Can you imagine someone taking a bottle of olive oil, just dumping it on your head? Right? And number two, the other thing we know is that the people that were listening were livid. They were livid. Let's look at the text. As she does this, some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was this ointment wasted? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii." Denarii was a day's wage. "And the money given to the poor." Right? What a waste, they say. In our spiritual lingo, we would probably say, that is bad stewardship. Right? We could have used this money for other things. We could have given it to the poor. During Passover, it was tradition for folks who were coming, pilgrims who were coming to worship, to give money towards the ministry of the poor. So I can just imagine that these disciples were thinking, oh, this could have helped us satisfy that obligation, for one. And it's not said, but maybe they were thinking, you know, if anything else was there, maybe it could help us, right? We're going to have this supper in 2 days. Who's going to pay for this? Money's not going on trees. What a waste. And you dumped it on his head. Notice what they did. They moved from critiquing what happened to her. It said, and they scolded her. There's no place, what they're saying, right, for messy gifts. Life's too important. There's too many things going on. We can't mess around with messy gifts. We know how that is. We know how that is. Because we sometimes are uncomfortable with messy gifts, are we not? My definition of messy gift for today is this. A messy gift is a gift from God or others that challenges our understanding of God and ourselves. A messy gift is a gift from God or others that challenges our understanding of God and ourselves. I want to give you an example. This book by Will Willimon. He was the dean of the chapel at Duke University and is a bishop in the United Methodist Church. I think he might be retired now. But it's in this book, Fear of the Other. And it talks about his growing up. Let me read this for us. He says, "I grew up in the segregated South. I'm a product of an unashamedly racist culture. Every day I boarded a Greenville bus with a sign, 'South Carolina law, white patrons sit from the front, colored patrons sit from the rear.' Nobody I knew questioned that sign, especially no one who sat next to me in church each Sunday." Then he says, "My Damascus Road conversion came when my church sent me to a youth conference at Lake Junaluska, and I was assigned a room with another 16-year-old from Greenville. When I walked in, there he sat on the bed opposite me, better prepared for me than I was for him. We had never met, even though he went to a school four blocks from mine and played on ball fields where we never ventured. He was black. I recall nothing from the conference worship or lectures, but I'll never forget our conversation that lasted until dawn. He told me what it was like to go to his church and not mine, his school rather than mine, his world in which I was a stranger. In a paraphrase of Langston Hughes, his Greenville was never Greenville to me. By sunrise, I had my world skillfully cracked open, exposed, and also infinitely expanded and ministered to by the other who was kind enough to help me go where I avoided." Messy gift. a gift that gives life, and yet it's hard. What is that like for a kid to go back to his home and in his community with a different view on the world? That happens to us. When you have a child, maybe in your family or in your kid's school or wherever else that has special needs, that make it a challenge, not just for you, but for those around them. And they crack open life for you because you have to see it in a different way. And yet it's hard. That is a messy gift. Or maybe it's someone at work who drives you insane. Not because of their work, but because they remind you of someone else in your life. Has that ever happened to you? And every day you go, God, you're going to have to help me to get through this day. That's a messy gift. Or maybe it's even something in your body. Maybe it's a diagnosis. Or maybe something that has taken you down to your knees, where you literally have to reside every day and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm going to have to rely on you. Friends, that's a messy gift. We don't like them. They are hard. In fact, we want to avoid them at all costs. These disciples to this woman, this is not appropriate. Stay in your lane. Let us control what the gifts look like. And yet, friends, here is the good news of the gospel for this woman, and here's the good news of the gospel for you and me today. And that is that Jesus loves messy gifts. In fact, I think he might prefer them. Look at the text. After they say these things, what does Jesus say? First of all, he protects her. Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? And then he says two things. She's performed a good service for me. And then he goes on to say, she's done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. I love this for two reasons. And here's the first one. He is totally covering for her. Right? Have you ever had your kids or someone in your neighborhood, one of the kids, maybe your kids or your grandkids, come up with you, they knock on the door, and you come and open it, and they've got this huge bouquet of flowers. And you realize with shock and awe that those flowers are your neighbor's beautiful flowers from their garden. And they are coming to you and saying, Mommy, Daddy, I got these for you. And then you know the story. Shortly afterwards, 5 minutes later, the neighbor comes over and is irate at your kid and what they've done. What do? You kind of cover for them, right? It's like, oh, your flowers were so beautiful. She just wanted to give them to me. Right? I'll help you with them later, right? No, we cover for people. When people give us messy gifts and we know it's out of love, what Jesus does here is he's covering. I can't imagine he's not thinking to himself a little bit. Maybe I'm projecting myself on him. But I think I would probably say, you know, next time, a couple drops is good. A couple drops. But no, what does he do? She's done a good thing. Jesus covers for us when we give messy gifts. Let me give you an example of what that looks like today. Think about it. I was talking to our youth staff this week. We are still in need of some sixth grade leaders. Sixth grade leaders. And here's my hunch. There are people in this room, because we believe it, right, that the Spirit moves for the good of the body, that there are folks that might feel compelled and called to do that, and yet thinking, I just have messy gifts here. I am not a trained sixth grade leader. You have to have a PhD to be a trained sixth grade leader. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. And then you might also say, oh, do I really want those messy gifts? Because if you work with sixth graders, it will be messy. If it's the boys, also smelly, as it turns out, right? And yet, what does God call us to do when we feel these compulsions, this Spirit prompting? I think what Jesus wants us to do is to jump in and say, I don't know, I don't understand what this means, but I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to figure it out. And in the process, we have this God who covers us as we jump in. He loves our messy. Sometimes we are too Presbyterian, too stated in order, right? That's not bad. But what does it look like for us to do things that we feel called to do? God loves it when we do it. The second thing that I love about this is that it's apparent that this woman's gift reminds Jesus of his Father. Right? She's done what she could. She anointed my body for my burial. Think about this. This perfume, this nard, a whole bottle of it, likely would provide aroma for Jesus for days, if not weeks. So think about this. This is Tuesday of Holy Week. On Friday, when Jesus is arrested and tried, this aroma is on his body. When he is on the cross, chances are, this aroma is still emanating from his body. In the midst of Jesus' darkest moments, he has on himself an aroma of love, a love for this woman, for him. Glenn read for us this beautiful passage from 2 Corinthians that says that we are the aroma of Christ to God. Do you know what I think? In this moment, this woman's gift was the aroma of God to Christ. When we give our messy gifts to him, we are giving Jesus a gift. These are the kind of cups that Jesus keeps in his pantry. The messy, imperfect little ones that remind him, that let him know, that give him delight. And that is one of the pleasures and privileges of life as well. I want to read for us one of my favorite poems. It's by Billy Collins, and I think it works perfectly with this idea of what we give, these messy gifts. It's called The Lanyard. It says this. The other day, as I was ricocheting slowly off the pale blue walls of this room, bouncing from typewriter to piano, from bookshelf to an envelope lying on the floor, I found myself in the L section of the dictionary, where my eyes fell upon the word lanyard. No cookie nibbled by a French novelist could send one more suddenly into the past. A past where I sat at a workbench at a camp by a deep Adirondack lake, learning how to braid thin plastic strips into a lanyard, a gift for my mother. I had never seen anyone use a lanyard, or wear one, if that's what you did with them, but that did not keep me from crossing strand over strand again and again until I had made a boxy red and white lanyard for my mother. She gave me life and milk from her breasts, and I gave her a lanyard. She nursed me in many a sick room, lifted teaspoons of medicine to my lips, set cold face cloths on my forehead, and then led me out into the airy light and taught me to walk and swim. And I, in turn, presented her with a lanyard. Here are thousands of meals, she said, and here is clothing and a good education. And here is your lanyard, I replied, which I made with a little help from a counselor. Here is a breathing body and a beating heart, strong legs, bones, and teeth, and two clear eyes to read the world, she whispered. And here, I said, is the lanyard I made at camp. And here, I wish to say to her now, is a smaller gift, not the archaic truth that you can never repay your mother, but the rueful admission that when she took the two-tone lanyard from my hands, I was as sure as a boy could be that this useless, worthless thing I wove out of boredom would be enough to make us even. Friends, what messy gifts. What messy gifts that we have that we are invited to present to God for this world that people might not understand. Friends, when we do, we not only give God glory, we give Jesus delight, but we get a chance to see him face to face in our actions. May it be true for you and for me today. Amen.